Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jonna Spilbor and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode, another edition of Happy Hour with Jonna Spilbor and Carol Pesci. I am Frankenberry. I'm just some guy that's part of the show, but the two important aspects of the show are with me here right now. Please speak to us.
You're our dude. You're our token testosterone. I couldn't do this without you.
We all need a little token testosterone from time to time.
The way my life has gone, yeah, joking testosterone is the way to put it.
Well, Frankenberry, I don't know how to segue that into who we're going to be talking to a little bit later today. So I'll just go for it. So today on the show, we have a very, and she's got a local connection, by the way.
She lived in Poughkeepsie at one point, right?
She lived in Poughkeepsie. And I do want to ask her about that because I found that out from her bio. But we're going to be speaking with Corby Mitlid about her new book entitled Clean Out Your Life Closet, Take Charge of Your Life and Love Your Journey. And it's a very interesting little different take on traditional, quote, self-help books. It's a little Marie Kondo and a lot of how to clean out your emotional space, not just your physical space. We're not talking closet in a truly,
literal sense.
Yeah. Literal, yes.
Sense. Yeah. We're not talking about that. It's more metaphorical. So very interesting book. I'm sure it's going to be a very interesting discussion with Corby. And I love intuitives. You know, we have a couple of good friends who are intuitives. I just love them. So it's we can look forward to that coming up.
Well, I think it's a great, great topic. We've talked about it before, how there is a correlation between our mental and emotional state and our physical state. And that's so often we think like we all want to feel better, happier, whatever. Everything that we're after is because we want an internal state. And most of us think that so we get more. When I get this, when I acquire this, when I accomplish this, then I will. And there's something to be said for simplifying and clearing out to get to that space rather than more. So I'm excited to talk with her.
And it's funny because along the same line, I wanted to discuss something with you guys today because I am absolutely positively miserable. And I think
something new, Carol. Mark this day down.
Oh my God, what?
I know.
Yeah, it's miserable. Not like me. It's not like me at all. But I am having a problem. And just like you said, Carol, I don't think I'm going to be happy until this problem is solved. Now, the problem with my problem is it's not the type of problem.
Hang on. Pause. Yeah. Frankenberry, yeah. Come into the kitchen. Yeah. Come into the kitchen with me, please.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah. Jonna, stay there.
Okay. So it's not enough that she has a problem, but her problem has a problem.
I know.
It just
keeps compounding problems, becoming problems for problems and problems for more problems.
Whose problem has its own problem?
I don't know. And then we get lost on what the problems are and where they started.
Oh God, I don't know. All right, let's go back.
All right.
Okay. We're back.
Oh, you guys back? Oh,
yes.
Good. Okay.
We're back from the sitcom kitchen. We're good.
As I was saying, the problem with my problem is that it's not an easily fixable problem. Like, for example, it's not like, oh, can you loan me $10 and then my problem goes away? No. My problem, are you ready for it?
Neighbor.
Nope.
Oh, nope. Good guess though, right?
That was a good guess.
It doesn't involve a neighbor. It doesn't involve a spare cat. It doesn't involve the four baby raccoons that found their way onto my deck this week. It doesn't involve any of that. It involves my hair. Oh. Now, listen, Linda, I am having a hair crisis.
Uh-oh.
Of monumental proportion.
This is a problem.
This is a problem.
Yep. Yeah, it is.
No, it really is. And I've decided, and I'm going to sing the praises of my hairstylist because she's going to get me through this. I know she's going to get me through this. She's the only one who can get me through this. But hair is hair. And hair, you can't just pull it out of your head like that little Chrissy doll we had as kids. You remember that little Chrissy doll where you can yank her hair out and you made it as long as you wanted? I need to be her right now, but that's not physically possible. So I've decided that I'm going to not leave my house for, I don't know, 3 to 6 months, maybe.
Okay.
Yes. You know, that's not going to be easy for me, you know, because I got stuff to do. I got places to go.
You got a business. You got employees. Yeah, that's going to be a little difficult.
And national television appearances.
Yeah.
What's the problem with your hair?
So I think I told you guys, but I've been struggling with, I woke up one day and it turns out one side of my hair grows like a normal head of hair. And the other side of my hair ain't growing. So when you look at me straight on, I look like someone, you know, basically cut the right side of my head with a sharp stone and no mirror. And then the left side of my head looks normal and luxurious. So I kind of like Phantom of the Opera, you know, like if I turn one way, I look all choppy and Lisa Rinna-ish. And if I turn the other way, I look like Farrah Fawcett. That's no way to live, guys. That's no way to live.
Well, Jonna, do you remember, I think, was it in the 80s, that was an in look to have like one side of your head almost shaved?
Well, that's still
and the other side really long. You could bring this back.
People still do that today. Jonna, you're do just they? Trying. Yeah, you're just being hip.
You're a trendsetter.
Yeah, I don't feel like a trendsetter. I feel like the 1979 growing out perm called and wants its hairdo back. That's what I look like. I look like the epitome of when they were just trying to determine whether shag hairdos were going to become anything. I was the experiment. That's what I look like right now. So I finally sat down with my hairdresser and sidebar, shout out. I go to a salon that I'm just going to shamelessly plug them. Woman owned. It's owned by Kathy Goodall. The name is Sheer Love. It's in Wappingers. Every single stylist in that place is fantastic.
Yes. I go there too. I love them. I love the vibe in that place.
Yeah. They're fantastic. I've driven by there.
Everybody, all my friends go there. I turned all my friends onto that place. I just want to say one other thing about the owner. As a boss, she not only takes care of her clients, but I think the sign of a great boss is how well she takes care of her staff.
She sure does.
They all respect her, and they're just great. So I sat down with my stylist, who didn't believe me at first when I was complaining about one side growing faster than the other. And she would say, oh, stop sleeping on your right side. And it'd be like, oh, that ain't it. And I finally shook her and she's like, oh, I see what you're saying now. So we have a plan. We have a plan to help me grow both sides even. But in order to kick that off, guess what she had to do, guys? Guess what she had to do?
Cut the other side short.
Bingo. And now, like, at least before I could, you know, talk to people just like kind of facing diagonally so they could just look at the good side.
So you look to everybody that you talk to thinks that you think they're suspicious because you got your head turned, you're side eyeing them. Uh-huh.
That's right. Uh-huh. That's right. So now I, and it was funny because I did do a TV appearance live. And I was, I met a makeup artist and a hairstylist who I'd never met her before. She was new to me. And she was, you know, working with my hair. And she goes, oh my God, she thought it was a great cut. She said, this is a great cut. It's very Lisa Rinna. Now, Lisa Rinna, for those who don't know, she was I don't think she's still on. I think she's off the Real Housewives of, I don't know, Beverly Hills, one of those in California. She has very short, shaggy, choppy hair.
And lips the size of the state of Kansas.
Oh my God. Oh. Look what she did to those lips though. Like that's just not filler. That's like, wow. She got lips implanted in her lips, you know, like permanent big lips. But yeah, so that's kind of what it looks like a little bit. And that's not the look I ultimately want to have. I want much longer hair. So I figured what I'll do for 3 to 6 months while we see if this is going to work is hide, like just, you know. What do you think of that plan, guys?
It's certainly possible, but again, those TV appearances might you might have a conflict there. And isn't there something that can work a little bit faster, like, you know, some sort of Scotch turf builder for your hair?
She does all that already. Collagen powder.
All right. Fertilizer. Yeah, all right. So you already do all that. It's the compost. Okay. All right.
Compost for your head.
I did buy some fake hair too. It's not like a wig. It's a like a piece of fake hair that you can blend into your normal hair, like in a pinch. I figured if I really got to go out, I'll just put this fake hair in.
There you go. Jen, sorry. You bought like a kind of female toupee. Very nice. Very nice. Now, I think you should go with the wigs and turn it into some sort of weird thing that we can't talk about on the air.
What about extensions?
So, and I've had those before, and they're kind of a, if you've never had extensions, ladies out there listening, they're kind of a hard to maintain because every month you've got to go and get them like restuck up in your hair, like pushed up, because as your hair grows, the extensions come out too. And there have been more than one occasion when I was on national television and one of my extensions was like 5 inches down on my shirt. Just one, and I had to like pull it out when nobody was looking on national TV. So they're not convenient, you know? So I don't know. I'm going to have to.
So is your hair, is it a growth thing or is your hair breaking on one side?
Well, that's
like,
what,
is it so dry and damaged it's breaking off?
That's what my stylist, that's her theory. So we're working on that. And she even took pictures. She's like, okay, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to take pictures. I'm not going to do something for a month. She didn't put any color on it for a month on the ends. And then we're going to see if that stops it from breaking, and maybe breaking is the problem. But
do you use a flat iron every day?
Every day.
Ooh,
every day.
There you go. There you go.
But remember, Curly, when we went to go see Gary Vaynerchuk with our good friends, Amy, Deb,
Amy. Yep, yep.
And I had a black shirt on, and you were like, wait,
Jonna, something's on the back of your shirt. Yeah, and you go, it's probably my hair. And I went up to go brush it off. I'm like, yep, that's what it is. I thought you had, like, you know, your dog fur from your puppies or something. It was your hair breaking off on your shirt.
I thought you put this shirt on your dogs. That's how much hair breakage was on my shirt. Which is
you need to stop the flat iron.
How am I going to do that? I don't know, because I got this weird curly hair if I don't do the flat iron. So as you can see, I am in a dilemma. My hair is in crisis, and so am I. Your hair is a big deal for women.
And my favorite part is that Carol comes up with possibly a good solution or at least something to help you avoid this. And your first response is, can somebody help me, please? Jonna, do this. I know it works because I've seen it happen before. Well, no, I can't do that. Give me something else.
What about wearing it up? You look, you're gorgeous no matter what length your hair is, no matter what. But you, every once in a while, when we were being sued, and you would like pull your hair up in the back and just hold it with your hands. I mean, like, you look so pretty with your hair. Yeah,
pull it behind your ears kind of thing. That would look kind of cool, kind of cute.
Yeah. Well, clip it up.
I appreciate that. But right now, my hair is so short that I can't put it up. It's too short.
Gotcha.
Thanks for the reminder. Thank you.
You're welcome. Because as has been noted in this show before, Carol and I, being your friends, we are always supportive and we always care.
Except when we go in the kitchen.
Exactly. Then we make fun of it. To no end. And the studio audience loves it, by the way, just in case you're curious.
All right. I think you need a wig, a real hair wig.
Oh, God. They never look natural. They never.
You'd be surprised.
This is going to work. I think this whole maybe laying off the chemicals is going to work. Because the other thing I thought of, I started researching weird things like hair cancer. Can your hair grow? I did. I Googled whether your hair can grow inside your scalp instead of outside. I did. Like, I'm like, my hair is growing shorter, not longer. And I turned out
your hair is breaking off because it's damaged. This is not a complicated thing. You got to go easy on it. You got to use super good, and I'm sure Molly's suggested something for you, super good conditioner. You got to lay off the flat iron. Do you wash your hair every day or every other?
No, like every other day, but just because
you flat iron it every day.
You got to flat iron it, and then you got to curl. I don't just flat iron. You guys, first I straighten, then I curl. I do both of those things.
You are beating the crap out of your hair.
And the funniest part is, now this is coming from a guy, but one of the reasons you said that you flat iron your hair is because otherwise it's too curly. And then you said you flat iron your hair so you can then curl it.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. Yes. That makes perfect sense.
It does make perfect sense, Frankenberry, because sometimes you don't like the way your hair wants to curl, yet you want a little curl. So what do? You straighten it into submission, right? As Carol put it, you beat the crap out of it. Then you take one or two different size curling irons at 450 degrees Fahrenheit, and you put in the exact curl that you want. That's what you do. And then one day you wake up and you got no hair on one side. Okay?
That's right. And you say to yourself, how the hell could that have possibly happened?
Right.
It's not complicated.
And then when your good friend says, well, why don't you just stop beating the crap out of your hair? The only correct response is, I can't do that.
Oh, my gosh.
At least I don't swim. You know, people go swimming. They get all that chlorine and stuff. I don't do that.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Jonna, why don't you just come up with a list of all the things you don't do that can damage your hair to make yourself feel better? Okay. As opposed to just stopping the couple of things that you do that damage the crap out of your hair.
Well, if look, only wine was good for hair.
You also look good in hats. I've seen you wear a rain hat, and I'm sure if you go dig around in your closet, you might find some pretty cool hats in there.
Yeah, seriously. And you know what? Like, go watch the Mary Tyler Moore show, okay? She wore, like, the coolest hats ever.
No, I get you, Curly. It's Frankenberry who didn't get the reference.
What reference? Oh, are we doing a segue? Is this where we, like, lead into the guest?
This is very straightforward.
You never know what's going to happen.
So this is that part. Okay, go ahead. My bad.
Very straightforward to go. So funny, Curly, that you should mention me going into my closet, which hasn't been cleaned out in life or in reality, because when we come back from the break, our guest today is the fabulous author of a new fabulous book entitled What? Clean Out Your Life Closet. Take charge of your life, your hair, and love your journey.
My hair is not in it.
All right, that hair part I added. But when we come back, we're going to be with intuitive coach and author Corby Mitlid. But I am going to ask her if I'm pronouncing her name correctly.
All right.
We'll find out.
Yep, we will find out. That is on the way. And seriously, Mary Tyler Moore wore some cool hats. We'll be right back. We've got Jonna Spilborn. We have Carol Pesci. And our guest is on the way. So please stick with us. This is Happy Hour.
Sunday mornings with 92.9 WBPM means you'll laugh more and stress less. Now here's more Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back, everyone, to Happy Hour here with Jonna Spilborn and Carol Pesci. And it's time now, segment number two. And segment number two is where we always get to our guest. And I know the ladies are looking forward to talking to a Corby today.
Well, we're looking forward to talking with Corby for many reasons, not the least of which is she has a Poughkeepsie connection. But before we get there, let me tell you a little bit about her. Corby Mitlid has always been, quote, the different one, a writer and visionary in a completely medical family. Father's a doctor, mother was a nurse, brother a doctor. She's always made her own path rather than take one cut for her by others. I love that. Leaving an Ivy League university after 2 years, Corby struck out to find where joy and purpose lived, regardless of what she was told she ought to do. Today, Corby is a full-time intuitive and inspirational speaker. She brings a full toolbox to her job as a beacon of manifestation and vision for her clients. And she's here to give us a taste of what's inside her new book, Clean Out Your Life Closet. Take charge of your life and love your journey. Corby Mitlid, welcome to the show.
It's terrific to be here. Thanks for asking.
There's so much that I want to jump into. I'm up to chapter like 17 in the audio version of your book. But I noticed when we were doing a little homework on you that you have a Poughkeepsie connection. Did you really live in Poughkeepsie?
I lived right on 376 in Wappingers. That was when Wappingers Falls. That's right. It's when I was working for Richard and Wendy Pini. They are Warp Graphics and the writers and artists for ElfQuest, which is a worldwide phenomenon. It's been around for 45 years, multiple million sold. So, yes, I do have an honest-to-God Poughkeepsie connection.
Very cool. That doesn't happen very often. This is the second time in 12 years.
Yeah, and we had no idea. We had no idea until we were doing a little homework on you. So let's dive into the book, because I love your approach to, like I said, I'm knee-deep inside the book. So tell us, first of all, what prompted you, what inspired you, somebody who inspires others, to write this book?
Well, we all of us have bought at least one self-help book in our lives. And if you can honestly tell me that you didn't, I will hand you $50 cold cash. But yeah. I remember the first book I ever bought, it was 1968. I was 13. And I remember the first paragraph. Judy has a groovy wardrobe. Remember, it's 60s. Her hair is fab and her makeup is far out. But nobody likes Judy because Judy's fat. In one paragraph, the hundreds of thousands of young girls who read that were told, you are worthless if you don't look exactly the way we tell you. And that's the problem with an awful lot of self-help books. They say, do everything we tell you and it all gets better. And that can't be. They haven't lived your life, faced your challenges, have your parameters. I mean, when I was doing my own research, there was a book that said, get up every morning early and do yoga and avoid food with leptin. You're a single mom with two kids in school and a job in Milwaukee. You are not going to do that. So the four things that my clients always asked about were clarity, adaptability, simplicity, and making friends with stress. So I wrote on that, figuring here's, you know, some of the dumb things I did. Here's a client story, and here are some suggestions. But at the end of each chapter, I give you the adventure pages. And you can't turn to page 82 and figure that out. You have to go for your own life. For instance, the chapter, Why Perfect Isn't What You Think It Is. My questions are, has perfect been a friend or foe in your life? Why? When did the search for perfection stop you from doing something important? How so? Think of a challenging situation and find three perfect things about it. How do your feelings about the situation change? So you can use your own life to find out how fabulous you can be already.
But I also noticed, and I love the adventure pages in the book, the pages that precede your adventure pages, where you inspire people to really think about what you said in that chapter, is great. Because your point, you make points that are so easy to understand. Mm-hmm. And I love when this happens, like when you have a bit of an aha moment, but it's not like, aha, this is something I never thought of before. It's like, aha, why aren't I doing it like this? So, you know, and even the whole concept I'm finding about clean out, like, we're not taking this literally, clean out your closet, because you talk about how to clean out your emotional closet spiritual closet. And that's all connected to our physical space. Can you talk about that too?
Sure. I mean, physical clean out, I leave that to Marie Kondo. But let's take emotional. How many times do we keep hitting ourselves upside the head with dumb things we did when we were 32? And well, me, I'm 68. That was a long time ago. So you look at what happened, you take the lessons from it, and you kiss it goodbye. Because then you have more room in your mind to create new things, better things, things that are more supportive. You don't need to keep rehashing the time you totally screwed up the deposition for your lawyer boss or something.
No, I agree with that. And that can be very, it can hold you back. And I also think that sometimes like little things can make a huge difference. Even so, let's take it quite literally. You have this great plan for how to actually clean out your actual closet. And, you know,
of the, course, because everybody asks. Yeah.
And but sometimes when you do that, when you, because it is all connected, you clean out your physical space, it can make your spiritual space and your emotional space feel so much better. And it's a tiny little thing.
Yes. You know, a lot of people, when their house is cluttered, they cannot think. And it's not that they're coat hangers on the brain pan. It is just there's no place to rest their eyes, rest their thoughts, sit without something distracting them. And it's the same thing in our minds. When you clear out the things that always bugged you, that you always yell at yourself about, there is this peaceful space.
Corby, I agree with you 1,000%. What's the process? So I don't think there's anybody listening to you right now who would disagree with what you just said. Like we have these things floating around in our head. They hold us back. They keep us stuck. We can't do anything about anything that happened in the past. So we're aware of that, or many of us are aware of that. What do we do about it? What's the process to finally say, oh, I'm just tired of that stuff cluttering my heart and cluttering my brain? How do we do it?
One of the things that I always tell people is ask yourself the three most important questions in the world. So let's say you have an old memory that really embarrasses you. So the question is, what are you embarrassed about? Well, I was embarrassed about this. Why were you embarrassed about that? And then you process it. But the magic question we never ask ourselves is, what do I think would happen if I stopped being embarrassed about that? Boom. You are permitted to change. Change is your friend.
So when I paddled on my paddleboard on a lake in Pennsylvania to introduce myself to a pontoon boat full of neighbors, six of them, and promptly fell in next to the boat in the water and sat down after I continued to talk with them as if I didn't fall in the water and I was soaked and sat on my paddleboard and sheepishly paddled my way back home. I was embarrassed. So you're saying, I said, why was I embarrassed? Because I looked foolish.
Okay. What do you think would happen if you stopped being embarrassed about that? And I'm going to make you flip it. If you were in the boat and you saw someone you love make an oops and they picked themselves up and sat right down back,
I would laugh with them. I would.
Right. And you might think, wow, she's really cool about that. And what if they were all thinking those fabulous things about you and you're rejecting them by continuing to be embarrassed?
Well, and the truth is right now it does make for a funny story. So, and I did design a t-shirt and make myself head of the shipwreck crew for this lake. So, and I wore that to the party that they held a few months later. So I owned it, I guess. Flipping it.
So you can throw away the idea about embarrassment. We stay stuck in our stories.
Ah, you're right.
You know? I mean, look, that's part of living the examined life. By the time I was 11, I had a Dolly Parton figure, literally. And then all of a sudden, in 2004, I got my third bout of breast cancer. And the doctor said, well, it's a second primary, but three strikes, you're out. We're taking the rack, we're taking the ovaries, and you're going from this Dolly Parton figure to a fat fire plug with permanent side effects in 3 weeks. Suck it up.
Oh, boy.
Now, did I go home and cry for 24 hours? Of course, I'm normal. But I knew my rule. I needed to find three reasons to be okay with it. I don't care how stupid they were. So the first one was, you don't have them, you can't get cancer there. Second one, the top half is not going to be slammed in the refrigerator door at the doctor's every year. And every woman listening knows exactly what I'm talking about. Third, implants? Cool. I'll be perky till I'm 93. And that attitude enabled me to go through the 6-hour double mastectomy reconstruction at Mass General, walk out of the hospital in 3 days and shop for a bathing suit in 5.
Wow.
That's 19 years later. Here I am at 68. Yeah, you know, I look like a grandmother now. I deal with it. But I don't go to people, you know, I've seen some women 15 years ago, they had stomach cancer and they walk up, hi, my name is Susie and I'm a cancer survivor. Look, in 1973, I was the Betty Crocker Homemaker of Tomorrow from New Jersey as a senior in high school. I don't tell people about that now because I've moved on. You are allowed to move on and create new things in your life, guys. And to do that, you got to clean up that life closet.
Well, and what you're saying here, too, is something we've talked about before that's very powerful. Sometimes it's not more knowledge that we want. I think this is the whole approach of your book. It's the questions we ask that are what are so important that lead us in the right direction. Number one, self, right? So we're asking the questions of ourself. We are much more brilliant and wise and intuitive than we give ourselves typically credit for. But, you know, we've talked. So my ex had an affair. I wrote a book about it. I created a brand about it. It ended up being a wonderful thing. But at the time, I would say, why me? Why did this happen to me? Mm-hmm. What did I do wrong? And the pivotal thing for me was to recognize the answers I was searching for were not going to get me anywhere better. And when we can raise that awareness of, okay, if I don't feel like I'm happy with where I am in life, whether it's an internal state or something around you, to switch the questions you're asking. And that's what you do in your book, right? Is to guide us with productive questions to ask ourselves.
One of my own mentors, if you will, Barry Neil Kaufman, he and his wife Samaria run the Option Institute in Massachusetts. Questions are not so much signs of doubt as opportunities to crystallize what we know.
I love that.
And you talk about that. I mean, I think you kind of termed it as 6 degrees of separation, how you can take something that is really terrible, like in your case, it could be cancer, Carol's case, the cheating. And when you really examine it, you can pull out wonderful things that come from something that you can't see the wonder in it when it's happening to you. And to that end, I wanted to talk about, because I'm not here yet in the book, you say that you should make stress your friend. How and why?
Well, for one thing, unless you live on top of a mountain, constantly meditation, stress, my darling, is going to come to your door and go, hello, I'm coming in. So there are two kinds of stress, good stress and bad stress. Good stress is you're getting ready to go to the final interview for the job you want. Good stress is you're in the starting block for a race. Good stress is you're about to go on stage for your Broadway opening. But bad stress is totally different. Bad stress is when you second guess yourself constantly so that you're thinking things twice all the time. You never feel you're good enough. You say yes when you want to say no. You obsess over all those old memories. That's bad stress that we put ourselves through. And we don't need to.
So what you're saying is the worst kind of stress is really I know there's a lot of people that won't agree with me, but it's a choice because it's a thought pattern we're choosing, or we should raise our awareness to, because we can choose differently.
Absolutely. Look what I did with the cancer dance. Notice, I don't say I fought cancer because what you fight fights back. And I don't say I'm a survivor because I do more than hang on by teeth and toenails. I call myself a cancer dancer. I found out how graceful I could be under pressure, avoided getting my toe stepped on, and got off the dance floor in one piece. That is a choice of how are you going to deal with the stress? Are you going to let it choke you? Or are you going to say, oh yeah, watch me?
Wow.
I like what you just said about what you fight fights back. That is a very
interesting. It does.
Oh, Mother Teresa used to say the same thing in different terms. Yep. She'll never join a war against anything.
But you'll do a pro-peace march. Yep.
Yep.
Yep. Very well known.
Wow.
I just want to... Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. You ask. I'll answer. That's my job.
I was going to just pivot a little because... And talk about what you do for a living, because you're an intuitive coach and an inspirational speaker. Now, most of us know what inspirational speakers do, but as an intuitive coach, what do you do exactly?
Well, it's the very Ivy League way of saying I'm a psychic medium. I've been one since I was 18. I have done this full time since 9/11, part time since 94. But I am not what I call a Madame Hoo-ha saying, oh, you have a family curse. How many in your family? Four? You have dogs? No, we don't go there. My whole gig is here are your opportunities and how to grab it. Here's the tough stuff. Here's how to get through it or around it. Here's your toolbox. Go rock and roll. I don't do yes or no questions because that takes your free will, puts it in my pocket, and I don't want it. I teach people to ask what empowers them. For instance, let's say you are going to say, I want to open up my own broadcasting studio. Don't say, is it going to be successful? Because I will do the, you know, Sister Mary Elephant look at you over my glasses and say, and what if I said, no, you're going to lose everything and live in a box under a bridge? Wrong question. You ask, how do I make it rock and roll? So then,
wow,
I'm a certified tarot master. I love my cards. A card for you, a card for the energy around the business, a card for the brick and mortar location to look for, how to market it, clients, competition, staff, finances, what you need to know, and best possible outcome. I also do consultations, find your sentence of passion, how to brainstorm your business. And the very deepest thing I do is something called a soul plan reading, which is based on the work I did with Robert Schwartz on his international bestsellers about karma and pre-birth planning. So you can do 5 minutes with me. You can do an entire day. I tell my clients, spend as little money as you have to. I tend to downsell myself. But I remind people, I am handing you the toolbox. I am not the repairman. I am not special. You can do what I do. Go do it.
Oh my God, I love that. I am not the repairman. So this is, and we love psychics. We love into. We have a good friend who's an intuitive medium, and I kind of feel that from you in the book. I bought the audio version of your book. That's how I consume all my books.
And you heard me.
And I love it. And it's like what you hear is what you get. This is you. Like I feel like I'm talking to you when I'm listening to the book, just like I'm talking to you now. And so I do think we have to wrap up here. We've been speaking with Corby Mitleib, author of Clean Out Your Life Closet. This has been fantastic. Where can people, now I got my book on Amazon, but where can people find out about you, connect with you if they want to learn more?
Oh, they can't avoid me. First thing is to go to my website, CorbyMitleib.com. That's got tons. It's where you can sign up. It's got articles, lots of stuff. You can find me on Instagram, Facebook, Corby Mitleib at Fire Through Spirit, Pinterest, YouTube. And if you want to learn with me on a regular basis, you go find me at Patreon.
And let's spell it for those listening. So it's C-O-R-B-I-E. C-O-R-B-I-E. Yep.
M-I-T-L-E-I-D. The word Mitleib is German. It means compassion. It's a chosen last name to remind me why I do the work I do.
Oh, I love it.
Which I absolutely love. Corby Mitleib, thank you so much for joining us today.
I had great fun.
Yes, thank you very much, Corby. And we are not done yet here with Happy Hour. So that is a threat and a warning, by the way. We've got segment number 3 on the way. So please stick around. More with Jonna Spilborn and Carol Pesci. And thank you again to Corby Mitleib for joining us this morning. We'll be right back with Happy Hour.
Live better and laugh harder. It's Sunday morning and Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol on 92.9 and 96.5 WBPM.
And welcome back one more time to Happy Hour here. We've got Jonna Spilborn. We have Carol Pesci. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
You guys can't even get through my last name anymore. So tell me about Corby Mitleib, Jonna Spilborn.
Oh God, I can't. Hey, listen, she was great, and I'm serious, you guys. If anybody out there listening, you gotta get the. I always do my books audio, and it's great, and it's her voice, and you feel like you're talking to her, and you know it's good stuff. These little things can make such a big difference in how you live your life, and you know they don't have to be monumental. They don't have to require a 12-week course. You know, pick up the book, apply some of the principles, and off you go.
I love the concept of clearing out some of our mental clutter, emotional clutter. I think we all got it. We're all carrying stuff around, you know?
Oh, that we are.
No, we are. And I'm also, and I, she, this is only a part of her book, but like the connection between your physical space and your emotional space. Like, I swear to you guys, I can't, if I've got something that I have to get done, whether it's a work related or a project around the house, if my place is messy, I can't do it. I just can't. Like, I gotta, it's all connected for me.
Well, it's, I mean, yeah, and there is definitely a connection between the physical and you know, the mental when it comes to clutter. You know, for instance, in my car, I can't tell you how much better I feel after I've, say, cleaned out, you know, the seltzer water cans from the freaking floor of the passenger side of the car. Because, you know, every now and then you look at it and you go, oh, I'll get to that tomorrow. And then before you know it, it's an everyday thing. And it's the same thing, I think, with some of the clutter that's in your head. Oh, you know what? I'll think about fixing that up tomorrow.
All right.
You know,
you guys ever watch or caught a piece of the shows about hoarders?
Oh, I can't. I have, but I can't. I cannot do those shows.
This ties into what we're talking about, because anytime that anybody who's on the show, they have a psychologist present, because what you're seeing in somebody's physical state space represents what they're going through inside. And they got to deal with this, not just like get a dumpster and clear it out. There's, you know, they got to help them clear the inside stuff.
Right.
Yeah. To me, it's all just connected. But I love how she's an intuitive, too, because we have a good friend, Deb Panlin, who's an intuitive medium.
Yeah.
We love that. We love that stuff. I should have asked her. What I should have said is put your author card down, pull out your tarot cards and tell me when my hair is going to grow. Tell me when I can leave the house and feel
good. And that's when all you're going to hear about your hair is you're going to hear, dun, dun, dun. Here's the death card.
Yeah. I'm bald eagle. Huh. Wonder what that means.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Still going to ask her. And that's the other thing. The one thing, I mean, I miss seeing your faces every week now that we do this remote. But I got to tell you, how come I am the only one when we're doing this show that will go dark for 5 minutes? Like it never fails, does it? Every single show, don't I like drop out for 5 minutes?
Not that long, but every show you do drop out.
Yeah, you do drop out every show. That was, you know, at least I tried to have some fun with it last week with, you know, my little edit there. But yes, you do drop out at least once every week.
It just really and I was gonna, so I dropped out this show. You guys won't be able to tell because Frankenberry is a master producer and editor, but I was going to start cursing again to beat the band. And then I was afraid that you guys were going to hear me and I didn't want our guests to get, you know, offended. Like, it's one thing if it happens when it's just us before we have our guests, then I can curse away because you guys will laugh. I had to bite my tongue and just, you know, test my frustration. So
well,
sorry about that.
If it makes you feel any better, while you were dropped out, Carol said to Corby, I'm just waiting for my phone to blow up with cursing texts from Jonna. Yes. And Corby got a great laugh out of that. So I think you would have been all right.
You would have been all right. Yeah.
Yeah. She seemed like she could roll with the punches. She was pretty good.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. But listen, again to Corby Mitlide, thank you so much for joining us today and giving us some ideas on how to possibly clean out, you know, our mental closets. To help us live a little bit better. And Jonna, I have turned on my, or your life closets, excuse me, and I've turned on my video just for you, Jonna, so you can see my pretty face before we go here. And for Jonna Spilbore, for Carol Pesci, you have been listening to Happy Hour here, and thank you so much for joining us, and we'll be back again next week, same time, so please join us again then.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. If you missed last weekend's show or want to hear it again, visit the Happy Hour page at 929WBPM.com. There's more life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview next Sunday morning at 8 a.m. Live better, stress less, and laugh more with Happy Hour on 92.9 and 96.5 WBPM.